You may be seated. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd ask if you would turn to the book of James, chapter 3. We'll be taking a few minutes to look closely at the first 12 verses this morning. And if you find them helpful, there are some sermon notes in the back of the bulletin. Perhaps when you were younger, you remember hearing the trite comeback, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." As you grow older, you surely realize how untrue that statement is. Words do hurt, and they can't be taken back. Once they have been thrown out carelessly or hurtfully, words can do damage that can be devastating. Perhaps you've been hurt by the speech of others, but probably you also have inflicted great damage upon others by the words that you use. As we look at this passage from the book of James this morning, the main point is that we are to acknowledge your inability to control your tongue, and therefore to humble yourself before God. James, the brother of Jesus, lays before us the destructiveness, the untameability, if that's a word, and the inconsistency of our tongues. Yet, he does not leave us without hope. There is one who can tame the tongue. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit working within us, our tongues can be marked by carefulness, kindness, and to bring glory to God. These are the themes that we're going to briefly explore this morning. But would you pray with me as we look to the Lord? Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word that pierces our heart like a sword. I pray that with your loving discipline, you would bring us to a place of repentance, of acknowledging our sin. I pray that you would give us the hope that we have through the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. Would you strengthen us in our faith this morning? Father, would you even generate faith in the hearts of some who may not know you? And so we desire that you be glorified. May we hear your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, James begins this chapter 3 by saying, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is because teaching and the use of the tongue go hand in hand. It's wise to remember Proverbs 10:19, which states, "When words are many, sin is not absent." And when teachers speak carelessly, arrogantly, hurtfully, mistakenly, they hurt not only themselves, but also all of those who are under their care. A teacher's words can have a lasting effect and severe consequences. And false teaching and incorrect doctrines are easily stumbled into. And therefore, James gives a strong warning that you should think twice before becoming a teacher. Yet at the same time, this message about the words that we say is not limited just to teachers, but it's for everyone. Certainly teachers will be judged more strictly, but everyone, as we've already heard from Matthew chapter 12, will give accounts on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. And right from the get-go in verse 2, James acknowledges that everyone stumbles and sins by what he or she says. Perhaps with a hint of sarcasm, he says, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. In other words, none of us are perfect. We all stumble in many ways, especially with our tongues. And therefore, James calls all of us to acknowledge that fact, that we all sin with the words that we speak. There's only one person who was perfect and could keep his whole body in check, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as James starts talking more about the influences of the tongue, he gives three examples, three illustrations. The bit in the mouth of a horse, the rudder of a ship, and a spark that starts a forest fire. And this brings us to our first point this morning. The tongue is powerful and destructive. The bit, the rudder, and the tongue have one characteristic in common. They are small but powerful. In other words, something small moves and controls something much larger. Have you ever seen a Clydesdale horse? They're huge. They can weigh up to 2,200 pounds, yet with a small metal bit in its mouth, even a child can direct and control that huge beast. And think about the rudder of a ship. Try to imagine for a minute the Benjamin Franklin cargo ship. Perhaps you saw it on the news a couple years ago when it came to port in Los Angeles. This was a cargo ship built in Shanghai for a French shipping company. This one single ship is a quarter of a mile long. And it can hold 18,000 containers. Think about that. As you're driving on the road and you pass a semi-truck towing a trailer, think about that trailer. This ship can hold 18,000 of those. That is huge. Yet one man sitting at the helm with just a small movement of his hand can turn the rudder, which moves that ship wherever he wants it to go. This is the comparison that James is making with our tongue. Our tongue is a very small part of our body, but yet it has so much power. Think about these sayings from cultures around the world which emphasize the power of the tongue. The Greeks have said, "The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill." Or the Turks, "The tongue destroys a greater hoard than the sword." Or the Persians, "A lengthy tongue, an early death." Or this saying from the Chinese, "The tongue can speak a word whose speed outstrips the steed." As the bit controls the horse and a rudder controls the ship, so the tongue directs human life. For what we do most often follows what we say. The tongue is most often the interface where our heart's desires meet our actions. As Steve read earlier from Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Then in verse 5, James gives the analogy of a spark. This too is a very small and powerful thing, yet this analogy emphasizes the danger and the destruction that is involved. When I was a child, we had a barn that housed horses, and one of my jobs was to feed them. And inevitably, as I carried hay from the hayloft and dumped it into the stalls where the horses were, some straws of hay would fall along the way. And one day, I got this bright idea that I would light this trail of hay on fire and see what happens. Well, to make a long story short and to minimize my embarrassment and stupidity, As you can imagine, the fire quickly got out of hand. And were it not for the intervention of my neighbor, who happened to be nearby at the time, I could have caught our barn on fire and done tremendous damage. That incident scared me enough to not play with fire again. The point is that fire is destructive. A cigarette butt flicked out of the window, a campfire unattended, these insignificant sparks can produce a raging, out-of-control fire that destroys an entire forest, destroys homes, even human lives. And in verse 6, James says, the tongue is this fire. The tongue is this little spark. It is a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. By implication, the tongue is a fire that is out of control, destroying everything in its path. Proverbs 16:27 states, a scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. Incredible damage can be done with our words to everyone in their wake. James says the tongue is a world of evil among the parts of the body. The tongue is not more evil than other parts of the body, but speech is involved in almost every sin that we commit. A quick search of Psalms and Proverbs concerning the destructiveness of the tongue comes up with many descriptions of our tongue. A troublesome tongue, evil tongue, a boastful tongue, a slanderous tongue, a sinful tongue, a tongue that plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor, a deceitful tongue, a sharp tongue like a sword, a lying tongue, tongue that crushes the spirit, a malicious tongue, tongue that has the power of life and death, a sly tongue, a flattering tongue. With our words, we tell lies, we slander someone's name, we spew insults, we create conflict and division, we incite lust, and our tongue gives rise to numerous other sins. There are few sins that people commit where words are not involved. James says the tongue corrupts the whole person. This is no different than what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. He says, what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And a few verses later, Jesus says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean. Therefore, the evils of the tongue flow from the evils of our hearts. And James says at the end of verse 6 that the tongue is set on fire by hell. The tongue is a tool of Satan. How often has your tongue been used by Satan? How often does it not speak for edification or for the glory of God or for the good of your fellow man, but it speaks to destroy like a fire? Perhaps at times carelessly or unintentionally, other times purposefully with an intention to lash out and to hurt. What fires have you started by lashing out with critical and harsh words, by saying mean things about other people, by speaking with impatience and anger, by trying to be the first one to spread that juicy little tidbit of gossip, by laughing and joining along in crude and insensitive speech, by intentionally trying to tarnish someone's reputation, by manipulating others to get your way. Just a few small examples. The tongue is an awful evil. It destroys just like a wildfire. So the tongue is powerful, the tongue is destructive, but even more alarming is what James says next. And this leads us to our second point. The tongue cannot be tamed by any human person. Man can tame all kinds of animals, not just domesticated animals, but even wild animals, like birds, elephants, whales, foxes, rodents, tigers, to name a few. But no one can tame the tongue. The tongue is more powerful than a wild beast. There are no exceptions. No man can tame the tongue. James says, it is a restless evil. This imagery of the tongue is prowling around, restless, looking for something to devour. He also says it is full of deadly poison. The imagery here is like the venomous snake ready to strike, whose venom can kill with just one bite. Perhaps James was thinking of Psalm 140, verse 3, that states, they make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. And when we are honest with ourselves, this is what our tongues are like, untamable and poisonous. This is a picture of the destructive nature of sin, and on our own, we cannot bring it under control. No matter how hard we try, we cannot tame the tongue. Well, this should bring us to a place of despair. But nevertheless, there is a glimpse of hope. Verse 8 is worded strangely in the Greek. It seems to imply that simply among mankind, no one is able to tame the tongue. And so that begs the question, if no human can tame the tongue, then who can? James implies that we need to turn elsewhere for help. And in Psalm 141, David writes, O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You see, we cannot tame our tongue, but God can. The regenerating work of the Holy Spirit changes everything. We are to humble ourselves before God, to acknowledge our sin, to repent, and look to God's grace for strength. And when God does a work of salvation, it doesn't affect just one aspect of your life. It affects every single part of your life, including your tongue. And though a remnant of sin remains until Christ returns, yet with God's grace and strength and His power, we live a life of killing this corruption of our tongues. And we continually seek to be obedient to His word. We eagerly strive for these following verses to be manifested in our lives. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Or Colossians 4:6, let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Or Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. This certainly will be a lifelong struggle that we have against this remnant of sin that remains in us. Which leads us also to the third point, which James points out. Our third point is that the tongue is inconsistent. James reflects on our inconsistency in controlling our tongue. In verse 9, he states, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." James reminds us that we are made in the image of God, and that when we curse those who are made in God's likeness, we are indirectly cursing God. And then the illustration about the fresh and salt water, the figs and olives, show the absurdity of our inconsistency. Just like it is impossible to get olives from a fig tree, or figs from a grapevine, or fresh water from a salt spring, it should also be impossible for our mouths to both praise God and speak evil against others. Yet, as believers struggle with that remnant of indwelling sin, that's exactly what we do. We are that inconsistent. On the one hand, James scolds us for our inconsistent speech, yet on the other hand, he knows that no man can tame the tongue. Perhaps this is to lead us to cry out to the only one who can help us, which is Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of Paul's struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7. In verse 24, he concludes by saying, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." As we conclude this morning, if you do not consider yourself a Christian, perhaps you've been deeply hurt by the speech of others, perhaps even from the speech of those who consider themselves Christians. I'm sorry. It should not be that way. I tell you that Jesus can heal these wounds. But first, you must recognize that you also have inflicted great damage with your words. The tongue is powerful, a destructive, raging fire, and it cannot be tamed by any except for Jesus. And so I urge you to acknowledge the evil of sinning with your speech. Quit making excuses for it. Repent. Turn to Jesus by faith. And that's why he came. He came to save us from our sins. So find that grace in new life today. If you already are a Christian, I urge you to continue taking hold of Jesus every day. The very power that raised him from the dead is in you. And only by his Spirit working in you will your tongue be tamed. And second, be aware of your own besetting sins. These will be different among different people. Some of us may struggle with a self-promoting speech, others with critical speech, others with speech that is profane or obscene, still others with speech that is marked by slander or gossip. It's important for you to understand your own habitual struggles so that you can bring them to the feet of Jesus. And then third, humble yourself and repent often. When you realize that you've sinned with your words, don't let your pride keep you silent. Immediately, as you repent and confess your sins to our Lord, also immediately ask forgiveness from those whom you sinned against, or from those whom you've sinned in the presence of with your words. Do not delay. And finally, for those of you who already know Jesus, I urge you to spend time with Jesus by reading his word. Let his speech fill your mind, fill your very soul. And then by his Spirit working within you, may your speech be marked with carefulness and kindness and bring glory to God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we confess that we all struggle with our words. Thank you for the grace that you offer to us through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would draw near to us, that you would lead us to the throne of grace. I pray for the strength of your Spirit to fill your people, to enable us to bless others and to praise your name, that you would be glorified through our words. Be with us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.